Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Tonight, for the first time in 11 years, a hurricane is impacting Florida. You can go to the Weather Channel or NOAA. They're expecting 10-plus inches of rain in the panhandle just in the next 24 hours. But the storm warning, if the storm has been upgraded to a hurricane, there are wind, flood, and tornado warnings.
Is that Hermine or whatever?
Yeah.
Hermine?
Whatever. Hurricane Hermine. H-E-R-M-I-N-E.
Hermine?
Are bulletins at the...
I think that's racist. I think that's sexist.
The winds are about 105 miles an hour, they say. Maximum sustained winds, 80 miles per hour. As this thing is dropping in pressure and moving along the Florida panhandle, and it looks like it's going to move across Florida, touching through Georgia and South Carolina, as it goes off into the coast, if that's the if it stays on trajectory. But the first hurricane to hit Florida in 11 years.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. Joe, I don't know if you caught this story. Folks, there was a priest in Washington, D.C. that was dying. I don't know how many caught this on the news. And he was lying in the hospital bed dying. And this was just last week. And he whispered to the nurse in his weakest voice. Now, this is a very well-respected priest in the nation's capital. Everyone knew him. And, of course, he whispers in the nurse's ear. He says, I've got a request, and the nurse said, yes, father. And he said, I'd really like to see Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama before I die. She said, well, let me see what I can do. And he said, I'd like to see them at the same time if that's possible. No. Well, the nurse sent the request to Washington, waited for a response, and the answer came back. Well, both Hillary and Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama II agreed. And they said they would be delighted to visit the priest. And they were driven to the hospital. As they were driven to the hospital, Hillary Clinton told Obama, she said, I don't know why this priest wants to see us, but you know what? It could help our images, maybe even my election prospects. And Obama agreed that, yeah, it was a good thing. Well, when they arrived at the priest's room, the priest took Hillary's hand in his right hand and Obama's hand in his left hand. Did you see this on the news? Of course not. This is exclusive now. All right. There was silence and a look of serenity on the old priest's face. And finally, Obama said, Father, of all the people you could have chosen, why did you choose the two of us to be with you at this time as you are dying, as you are about to die? The old priest slowly replied, you know, I've always tried to pattern my life and behavior after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, said Hillary, and amen, echoed Obama. The old priest then continued, you know, Jesus Christ, our Savior, died between two lying, thieving bastards, and I'd like to do the same.
Pretty good.
Am I allowed to say that? Go ahead. I just did. Wait a second. Right. I got a. No, that's actually a biblical word. So, all right.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tim in Michigan. Tim, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, good evening. Two comments first. One thing I think you can put with the Black Lives Matters to just to put it to rest in a sense is when Obama gave Iran $400 million. There's 330 million people in the United States, approximately. It's over $1 million per person, man, woman, and child in the United States, and they didn't stand up and protest and say, "Hey, what about us?" I think that speaks volumes for what they are really about.
We better do that math again.
Yeah.
I think it's a boatload of money, regardless.
But there's 320 million people, right, in America.
So,
$400 million, you're looking at a dollar, Kuani.
No, no. Wait a minute. I'm saying you take the black population.
Oh, okay. All right.
I might have misspoke, but you take that money and divide. He could have ended probably poverty for the black people of this nation.
Well, I wonder what the monthly food stamp cost is for the U.S. Government. Let me do a quick search here.
Well, yeah. What are the demographics? Well, regardless, it doesn't matter. Whatever the numbers are, you're making a good point because we are. Well, go on, caller. I mean, it's a heck of a lot of money that the nation doesn't have.
The other point, the gentleman calling up, everybody knows the end of the book. And the only hope mankind has is Jesus Christ returning to this earth and saving our pitiful soul. And the Bible's full of warnings saying they're going to kill you and thinking they're worshiping God. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. I mean, they're going to come to kill you, and they're already being brought here. Part of it's being brought here. But the thing that people think they're going to be taken away and saved from all this misery, the thing I come up with is in chapter 7 of Revelation, they mentioned about the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And it starts out with the tribe of Judah, and it goes through all the tribes. Judah is one tribe of the tribe of Israel. They are known as the Jews. They've been known as the Jews in the whole If Israel are not Jews, just like all Californians are Americans, but not all Americans are Californians. The Jews were just one part of the tribe of Israel. Now, you fast forward and you go into chapter 14, it goes again into the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. And it says, these were they that were not defiled by women. They were virgins. Now, excuse me, that's the only spot in the Bible where I find anybody meeting and coming down with the Lord, or the 144,000 that were marked in their heads, and they're virgins. So, okay. And they're men, they're not women. Now, after that, perhaps, and this is during the sixth angel, and I guess that's my question. Do I have this right? I mean, am I thinking this through correctly?
Man,
is 144,000 out of the whole population of the world?
No. I don't know. I'm not a Bible scholar.
Well, the 144,000 are, they do carry special,
right.
But allotment in the book of Revelation, and they are from the 12 tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. I do believe that is correct.
But
what happens from then on, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think that calls for some level of speculation beyond what we're equipped for here tonight on this program. So,
okay.
All right, you know, I mean, that we can address that with Pastor Langford or others as well.
It does say that when the Lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and that is where Jesus Christ is going to return, and he's only going to do it once.
All right.
And with him were the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. Go ahead.
You know, I just think that what we're delving into right here is a little bit of scripture that's not 100% contextually accurate. I'm not sure exactly if we really don't have the time, and I'm not blowing you off here, but we don't have the time to really get into this. You know, I just think that this is above and beyond what we the theme of the program. But by all means, you know, certainly address this with Pastor Langford. You know, I really appreciate that.
I guess, Doug, what I'm trying to make a point is that people think that, you know, like, hey, it's not just going to get bad, it's going to get worse than bad.
Oh, it's going to get ugly. You got that right.
Beyond it.
Yeah. People think that they're going to survive this. Come on. You know, I mean, not survive this. People think they're going to be, get, you know, raptured out of here. I hope that's the case, but bottom line is I don't think so. And an argument can be made rationally on both sides, to support both sides, but I think there's only one accurate aspect of of that. And, that's subject to so much debate and divisiveness that it's ridiculous at its face to get involved in the.
So the bottom line is that Jesus Christ is our only answer.
Amen. End of story. That's all we need to know. I mean, really.
That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Thank you,
brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah. And you're right. That's the bottom line end of the story. That's what matters. If we've dedicated ourselves to Jesus Christ as opposed to, some cultish moon god or some cow or pig or whatever might be the small g god. That's all that matters. And we have to, and see, that's why, Joe, that to me, this is why Christians represent such a big threat to the globalist Luciferian satanic power brokers that are, because they want to distill the Christianity down into this all-inclusive initiative. Oh boy, everyone can come into heaven. It's all, you know, it's all sing kumbaya. Come on. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to know that the occult, the satanic worship, the Luciferians all steeped in this mess. And it's the, really the plans of the devil.
We are going to first-time caller Kyle next. Kyle, thanks for calling. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you for the first time.
Nice to be talked to for the first time. Thanks, bro. Thanks for calling.
All right.
What's up?
Yeah, I was watching the news today, and I didn't know if you guys had talked about this earlier, but seeing something about an Israel satellite. It was some sort of like Facebook satellite that got attacked recently. Did you guys hear anything about this?
It's
a Facebook SpaceX or what do they call it here?
It's a communication satellite. Facebook that was satellite them stuff into South Africa.
Never made it off the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Explodes at Cape Canaveral.
Went boom.
Blowing up Facebook's $100 million internet satellite.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, it was a mess on you know. Yeah. But that was the initiative by the Facebook what's his face?
Zuckerberg,
right.
Now he says he's going to focus on drones.
You know, and what was intended to do was it was intended to be up there in geosynchronous orbit with the Earth so that individuals in South Africa can get access Facebook via their phones.
I see it, but yeah, when I seen that, I was just like, wow, like it to me, it looked like a deliberate attack, almost like sabotage in a way, but I don't know really too much about it. I was hoping to get your guys' input on it, what you guys thought about it.
Yeah, you know what? Anything's possible. I don't know. That's what happens when you sit on a whole bunch of liquid rocket fuel or solid. I shouldn't say liquid. Solid rocket fuel. You know,
right.
And you take that chance. I think this is the second one that kind of hit the dust.
I see. Yeah, and just one more thing. Like this whole PC movement that's just getting out of control. Like tolerate everything, tolerate evil, basically. I was wondering, like, is there any way, like, for us as Christians and us as believers to kind of use their game against them? Like, they're all about, oh, you can't say this, can't say that, but, like, okay, well, what if you say, you know, something against us? Can't we be like, well, that's intolerant to us? Like, use their own game against them, you know what I mean? Like, play, you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to pull this fast card on us and single us out, but... You know what's to say we can't throw it back in their face and be like, well, what about you?
Don't
be a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I love the way you're thinking because, but here's the problem with this. Okay, they have had years, decades to organize and to get very well refined.
Oh,
they're well funded. You know, so here we are. Although we can win on the numbers, we are not as refined in terms of our. Approach. So, many people are fighting. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. It really is. And Kyle, if I could cry on your shoulder for a second there, you know, I've never seen a group of individuals, and I'm talking about Christians right now, who present the most stinking rotten excuses for inactivity, the most poor excuses, and then they will shoot their wounded just to stand on the shoulders or on the backs of those wounded just to get you know, that much taller than the rest of the crowd. What a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah. What a bunch of lying hypocrites.
Yeah, just to feel like they're not like, well, if I just play the, you know, nonchalant card, you know, hopefully this will, you know, I won't be oppressed or whatever, you know. That it's like they're not even like standing up and being like, well, you know, all these people are trampling all over us, and what do we have to say? Are we just going to cower in the background and then not say anything? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It frustrates me to go in. Like, I feel your frustration, your righteous indignation, you know, when you first started ranting and raving at the beginning. That's how I feel every day. Like, I don't know. I live in a very oppressive, like, witchcraft-based town, in a way. Like, there's a lot of witchcraft and undercurrent in this town. I don't know, like, if God called me to live here for a certain reason, but yeah, like, I try and talk to people, like, coworkers and such about these things. I hear them talking about politics, and I'm just like, really? I try and state my case, and they're just like, well, that's racist. That's this. That's that. I'm like, what? I have not a racist bone in my body. Like, how can you just go along with this PC, like, not even thinking for yourself? You're just going along with these zombie puppet head, you know, I don't know.
It's a Tavistockian programming to condition ourselves to be so afraid of saying anything that would make us,
they're using fear against us, for sure. You know, they're using the devil's tactics. They're using fear to make everybody, even if people think, you know, well, maybe he's got a point, maybe that's right, they're afraid to say anything. It's like they're afraid, like, the government's going to, like, call them up and be like, I heard that, and, like, kick down their door or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There is a spirit of fear that we should not succumb to that. I understand that. Look, I have, you know, somebody calls me a racist or a bigot or a homophobe or a xenophobe. I mean, hey, you know, it happens, but that's a pretty fallacious argument. And it's a, yeah, we've had people who advertise or going to advertise on our program says, well, I'm not going to do it because you guys take a really hard stand on homosexuality. We have to appeal to a broad base of people, and we can't advertise with you because of your stance on homosexuality. In fact, last year we got a $75,000 annual hit. Well, it wasn't a hit because we never had it, but the advertisers said, no, we're not going to do it. And there are multiple advertisers that were under one umbrella.
Same. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep.
But yeah, that's another thing that I'm kind of afraid of is, like, I have a feeling like they're gonna poke and prod at us to the point where somebody's gonna lash out, and then they're gonna be like, see what he did? Christians are radical. And then they're gonna, you know, go all out with that. I have a feeling like that's one of their tactics. Like right now everything's cool and calm, and like we're in the right stance as far as what we're doing. But I have a feeling like they just keep pushing us until somebody's going to snap, and it's all going to be bad. You know what I mean? And I just have a feeling like we all need to, like, think tactively and think very, you know, be harmless as doves and wise as serpents on how we approach this. And we just need to keep at it and get as many people together as we can and, you know, just try and make a movement. Not like go out in the streets and march with, you know, guns blazing and everything, but there's got to be a way. There's so many people that are waking up. There's got to be a way we can do this. And we're not going to change the world. We know in prophecy it's all going to go down like this. So, but we are supposed to stand in the gap. You know, we are supposed to stand in the gap for as long as we can, you know, and there are a lot of people that are waking up. So, I don't know.
Well, God bless you.
That's all I got to say.
You said a lot of great stuff. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a good
first-time caller. Great call. Great call. All right.
Want to touch on this story before we go to the next caller. The most unhinged liberal reaction to Trump's immigration speech. Liberals did not like Donald Trump's immigration speech in Arizona. Here are some of the examples of the most unhinged responses, many from journalists. Some even attacked the angel moms, parents, whose children have been killed by illegal immigrants. Here's Mark McKinnon. He replied to a tweet, Trump surrounded the Phoenix stage by angel moms who say their kids were murdered by illegal immigrants. This is pretty much a hate rally. A Joy Reid, I've never heard anything so aggressively ethno-nationalist, complete with ideological and assimilation screening. Joy Reid again, the way they call people illegals, so dishumanizing.
Dishumanizing?
Dishumanizing.
Okay. Well,
wow. This is the first Klan rally I've ever seen televised in my life, according to Chris Marvel. Black Girls Rock said, I'd say this was the most racist speech I'd ever heard, but I've never listened to Hitler. Wow. This is pretty bad. So what they're doing here is these angel moms were brought up on stage by Donald Trump. These were mothers of people who were killed by illegal immigrants. And they are just attacking Trump and these mothers of angel moms, saying this was all racist, a Klan meeting, and hate groups. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Well, what do you think about this? According to Cheryl Atkinson, the U.S. Rescue team was on its way to Benghazi, but was turned back. Evidence is overwhelming that the U.S. had rescue teams ready to go during the 2012 Benghazi attacks, but someone, and it's believed to be maybe the Muslim in chief himself, said, "Nope, you're not going to go." But you know, Cheryl, what's not reported here from Cheryl Atkinson is this: why would they turn that back? Why would they turn rescue teams back? Well, there's a lot of speculation, but it's my personal, well-informed, researched opinion based on talking to intelligence people. The reason is they knew this was a proxy attack by Russian forces against the ISIS supporting, or the, at the time there was no ISIS, but the Muslim supporting attack groups that were backed by Russia, but they didn't know exactly what they were getting into, and they didn't know, they expected this attack. This is a very well-coordinated, well-planned attack. People have to understand that. So and this in no way is protecting Obama at all, but what I'm saying is this shows foreknowledge that, and it had nothing to do, folks, it had nothing to do with security, at least at the embassy level. So, all right, I just want to throw that in there in addition to your revelation as well.
We only got a few minutes before the break, so I'm going to just hit a couple of headlines here, and then we'll come back and take the rest of the phone calls. Mainstream media, defeat Trump by attacking his supporters. First, jeez, they come after you, then they target your family, then your business,
then your
relationships. It is no secret the mainstream media has decided that the threat presented by the possibility of a Donald Trump presidency is so grave that it has suspended even the illusion of objectivity. Writing in the New York Times, a columnist by Jim Ruttenberg, granted permission to his fellow journalists to throw out the textbook of American journalism that it has been using for the better part of a half century and approach it like nothing you have in your career. And they go on to say that what is happening here is there are hundreds of examples that show how media has been attacking Trump, and not only Trump, but Trump's former doctors. The New York Post even put an article up about in 1964 how this African-American lady couldn't rent an apartment because of her race, and blamed Trump even though he was only 18 and didn't even own a building. Another example is Trump's doctor over-medicated patients who died in his care, from the Daily Beast. The Washington Post: the contractor that designs Ivanka Trump's clothes does not offer a single day of maternity leave. And it just goes on. The attacks on Trump supporters extend even beyond Trump relatives to include, bizarrely, the relatives of supporters. And it sums up the article nicely here in the end, where it says that...
Bring it on is what I say.
Not only... there's another tactic employed by the mainstream media that's inversely related to punishing Trump supporters, rewarding Hillary Clinton supporters.
Of course.
And then there's paragraphs of examples as well as news articles that show examples. Like if you search Google for Republicans back Hillary, there are dozens of big name Republicans supporters of Hillary Clinton. But if you search Democrats back Trump, you'll get an article from January from the Toledo Blade that goes to show the censorship covering up the narrative of Democrats backing Trump. That goes back into the Google censorship and whatnot. And we're right up against the break now. It's going to hit the story. We'll hit it on the other side. Or do we have a minute left? You see that?
Yeah, it's a little...
We got a minute. Okay, good.
So, there's a little box covering the time clock there.
I guess Clinton got out of bed to make a speech sometime this week, yesterday, and she said, "Treat cyber attacks like any other attack. As president, I will make it clear that the United States will treat cyber attacks just like any other attack. We will be ready with serious political, economical, and military responses." This in response to the WikiLeaks releases of her information. She calls it a cyber attack.
Yeah.
And she will bring the full force of the military to respond to future cyber attack.
We're going to clean up the office tomorrow, or the studio, that is. Tomorrow, Jack Cashel will be in studio with us. What a great job, or what a great episode that'll be. Broadcast that'll be.
Get him to clean up.
No. We're going to just give him coffee at Purple Sticks. Folks, stay with us for our final segment. Hagman Report coming at you. Saddle for battle. Saddle for battle. Final segment here tonight. Yes, final segment with your calls. Thanks for calling in. We want to get to as many as possible, but we also want to, I guess it should be concise and, of course, on topic. Before we get to the calls, legal experts say that allowing DHS to secure and secure elections would set a dangerous and even unconstitutional, dangerous precedent, and it's unconstitutional. Now, for those of you residing outside of Hattiesburg, and within Hattiesburg or outside there that need a little bump on the Constitution, or that still write in crayon and you know, whatever. Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution recognizes the authority of the states to regulate the times, places, and dates, manners of elections, right? Just go back to civics lessons but look, DHS oversight is, you cannot, the this is improper because there is nothing here within the state's voting systems that falls under the auspices of pieces of critical infrastructure that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security suggests they can prevent and protect protect from hackers. Now, it would set a dangerous precedent. The DHS does not have the legal authority to interfere with state election systems without their permission. They've got to be invited in, and even at that there's a question about the legality of such action. And this is a very dangerous precedent. And you know, before I was thinking, oh my goodness, back in 2001, 2002, or 2002, I thought, yeah, what a great idea for DHS. What a great idea. What a great idea. Are you kidding me, man? Somebody should have just smacked me upside the head. And I wish they would have, and really sat me down and said, look, this is a bad idea. And so I'll admit that I was a traditional Republican brainwashed neocon that was not awake back in 2001. I'm not hiding that. But now, you know, just like generally speaking, when you're in college, you know, you lean to the left, and you're a communist basically, and you're, because of the putrid stench of teachings, the collegiate teachings from the likes of Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn and these morons that you know, from Rutgers and other universities, who say, well, we, you know, we have to watch what we say, because we don't want to offend you. We don't want, plus we're going to give you a safe spot. So in case you get your feelings hurt, we'll protect you. We'll give you a safe zone. Okay. Well, this is well beyond that. See,
in the real world, there is no safe zones.
No. No, you know, no, there is. And it's in mommy's uterus. Wait a minute. No, that's not safe anymore either, from the reaches of the forceps held by the satanic blood sacrificial anti-life killer murderous Planned Parenthood people, in my view. Go on.
No, you're exactly right. Let's go back to the phones. We got a few first-time callers. We're going to take Joanna from Texas first. Thanks for holding, Joanna. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, good evening, guys. First of all, I want to say God bless you for your show.
Thanks.
And God bless you for having a show that allows me to say the word God and Jesus. And when it comes down to it, every problem that we have as a nation is that we have lost touch with spirituality, the spirituality part of God. We have 350,000 church buildings, and I'm not even sure of the number of people that are attending church meetings on Sundays. But if that were enough, wouldn't our nation be more Christian?
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
If that were enough. Yeah, if what was emanating from the pulpits of those 350,000 buildings would be the biblical standard of biblical teachings, yes. Because you're right, as Steve Quayle always says, there are no political solutions to spiritual problems, and we are, as a nation, spiritually bankrupt. And you're exactly right. And the failure, in our view anyway, my view, the failure comes in large part from the pulpit's lack of emphasis on the strong biblical teaching. While many are welcoming, they're saying, okay, well, you know, it's law that two guys can get married. It's okay. We have to become more tolerant and inclusive. No, we don't. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
It's about greed. It is about the spirit of greed.
That's right.
Where pastors are more concerned with filling the pews and getting the tithes so that they can build bigger churches and have better programs. And none of that is going to work without a move of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And, you know, I've been awake for about 4 years now, and slowly, you know, learning and listening and doing a lot of research on my own, and now I don't even, like, pay attention to what's happening on a regular news broadcast. But there are so many Christians that turn against other Christians. There is so much inter-Christianity fighting going on.
That's right.
That it's almost impossible for the Holy Spirit to move in any of these places.
That's right.
When the focus is more on how much money can we make, how much bigger can we grow our church. I actually became ordained in 2015 in April. That's my other job. I'm also a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling my son. You know, we had to pull him
out.
Good
for you. That's great. That's great.
We had to pull him out of the school system, and we are we're in the Sci-Fair school district here in Texas, which is supposedly or used to be one of the best school districts. And it grew so fast that the schools became overcrowded. The tax, you know, they weren't getting as much taxation as they needed to hire the proper number of teachers. And they say that they are not teaching the Common Core, quote, curriculum. But they are teaching the Common Core curriculum. They're just calling it something else. When my son was in first grade, okay, both my husband and I are college educated, and we could not understand his math homework. And I am one of many, many parents that I've talked about this with. They've taken the Common Core curriculum, they've twisted it up, and called it another name, and the public school system needs to be back in the hands of the local jurisdictions.
I agree. This Common Core crap that's out there, and I'm sorry, that's just what it is this, is the globalist way of really perverting our young children. I mean, if people really understood what Common Core was all about,
mm-hmm.
and you went through, I mean, you looked at it, and you said it didn't make any sense. You couldn't understand it, right? And I'm sure you're
go ahead. And I do a lot of my ministry on Facebook and on YouTube, and a lot of, especially the generation that is just before me. I just turned 40. But it seems like the generation that came just underneath me are kind of the result of this transformation in our education
right.
system.
That's right.
And the way that history has been twisted, and it's unbelievable. It's
yeah.
hard to have conversations
yeah.
with people sometimes because they are so set in their mind that because they learned it in school and whatever the teacher said was, totally true.
And see, that's why I give you a lot of credit, because for homeschooling your children, or those people who homeschool their children, yourself included, taking the initiative to extract the youth of today out of these brainwashing sanitariums. I don't know how else to describe them, but these ridiculous concepts like Common Core, and of course the revisionist history that we're faced with, and pretty soon. And these school policies, my goodness, don't dare send your son or daughter to a school and they happen to draw a picture of a gun by, doodling on
right.
a piece of paper. My goodness, they're going to be, tossed out and suspended and put into therapy, and the parents, you'll be, made to go undergo sensitivity training. And I mean, people think that this is ridiculous. It's not. It's happening all across the country. So we have to, and thank you, because just as you are teaching you have a homeschool set up there. We need
mm-hmm.
to do the same thing to become independent from the system that is enslaving us, and that includes whether it's the TSA or Common Core, the school district, whatever it might be. We have to get out of that system.
But, honestly, in my heart, I wonder how much longer United States of America is going to exist.
Hmm.
We have become so much like at the fall of the Roman Empire, when people were so greedy and
humanistic,
self-serving, and they, got overtaken by another power just because they let their guard down. And our guard has been down for a long time.
Yep.
And now all of these demonic entities have moved in. And now you have an entire nation of people who don't even understand that there is a spiritual realm and that there are these things going on around you that you don't see. And you can't fight that with worldly,
No, you can't shoot a gun at it because, no, you need to be prayed up and...
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it breaks my heart. Because I'm sitting here and my son is 10. And, one of the reasons I did pull him out was because He was one of the kids that wasn't talking much, falling behind, his grades were a little low. Oh, he has ADD, he has ADHD. Try him on this medication, try him on that medication. You know, these medicines that were making him, literally making him sick, making him ill. And it was, that was after second grade. You know, I knew in my heart it was time to get him out. And not only that, but I have a spiritual sense that the U.S. as we know it is about to undergo basically a split. I believe that Russia is about to take advantage of our weaknesses. If that makes any sense.
Russia, China. Yeah, you know, I think, of course, as a nation, the America is a huge nation, 320 mm-hmm. million people population wise. Certainly, I can see where, because we've been dumbed down, weakened, and made to fight amongst ourselves, it can get so bad where, you know, we're ripe for the picking by any nation with a formidable force. I believe that to be the case.
And even, you know, there's so many people that I talk to that are still so just blinded to thinking that, you know, things are going to continue on the way they are.
That's right.
And every person I ask, do you really think that things are better now than they were a year ago or 5 years ago? There's mm-hmm. no one that can say things are a whole lot better. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm taking a break from doing the bills right now. Where I remember a time when I could do the bills and we'd still have, you know, a little bit of leftover and at the end. And now, you know, my husband who has a really good paying job and we're scraping by.
Everyone is. And that's I mean, I shouldn't say everyone. That's, you represent the majority of people in America today. And the divide among the people who live like we do and those people who have the tons of money, is getting greater and greater. And, you know, so is the resentment too. Is that, you know, that difference between the haves and the have nots or that, you know, it's an assault. It's a war against the middle class. I think people need to understand too that the divide here is against the middle class, and that's who's suffering. And of course, the lower class is, you know, will be just they're expendable. But the middle class is the movers and shakers, the people who are the employed, the people with jobs, like, you know, like your family. You're employed.
Right.
Write the bills out and find out that you got too much month for your money. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this is even work. Yeah. We continue to cut back, and we can cut back and cut back, and still the bills get, and everything gets more and more expensive. And mm-hmm. I remember being able, I mean, even 5 years ago, going to a grocery store and being able to buy a certain amount of groceries for like $75, where now it's $150 for the same amount.
Yeah.
And then on, you know, mainstream media, they're saying that there's no inflation.
Yeah.
I
life is
know.
Great.
I mean, it shocks me how many people have been dumbed down. And it scares me because there are other, you know, there are other countries that are taking note of this. I think I really do have a sense that Russia is going to make a move sometime around either between the actual election process or in that time frame between the election and inauguration. And whether it be Trump or Hillary, oh dear Jesus, I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking back. I never thought Obama would, that people would actually elect him, and they did.
Or re-elect them, for crying out loud. Yeah.
And now there's people who are, now they're saying that Hillary is really likely to be elected. With mm-hmm. all of the clear evidence, with Benghazi, and her stuff goes back, before I was born.
Sure.
It goes
back to the 70s, you know, I mean.
Right. And I remember Obama being elected the second time. I had a brain tumor and was out of the hospital.
For real?
It was a weird freak of nature thing that happened. I had a tumor removed from my right frontal lobe. I was out of the hospital in a week, and the day I was let out of the hospital was election day. And the first place I went, even before going home, is we went to the polls.
Wow.
Just on faith that there would be some possibility, you know, of Obama being out of office.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought, I mean, surely at this point enough people know how much,
yep,
how much has been done to us. And then they still reelected him. Or did,
sure.
And now I'm learning, did they really elect him? Are the polls fixed?
What was his opposition? What was the, you know, I mean, look at that. There were two globalist peas in the pod, basically, at the, you know, in 12, so.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
But
in both
I think Russia is going to, I think they are going to make their move. I've dug very deep into this. I'm not saying that I'm an expert, but I do know how to read and comprehend and listen. And when you look into Putin's background, even though he is, a lot of the mainstream portray him as being communist KGB, he actually has very deep Russian Orthodox Christian roots. You can call me crazy for saying that, but I've but this is a lot of what I've looked into. He is more of, he reflects Christianity more than our president in many, many ways.
Yes,
I think
he's
going to use that to his advantage.
Or at least that's the way it's reported. And
right.
I don't know. You know, they're trying to tie Trump to Putin and WikiLeaks to Putin by saying that he's a Russian plant, but those are just more tactics by the mainstream media. Joanne, I want to thank you for your call. We got to move on. We only got a few minutes left to take the remainder of
callers. Thank you so much, and God bless you guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
God bless you,
too.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, we got three callers left. Dennis, Josh, and Tom. We're going to get to these three before the end of the show, so let's try to do this as quickly as possible. We're going to go to Dennis in Illinois. You're first up, live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yes, a while ago, a guy in Montana, he was talking about all the refugees and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you look at what Eleanor Roosevelt did when she was appointed to what, I don't know, a master or whatever to the UN, okay, she passed a thing through the UN that was, it was Social Security. And I was just reading the other day that being as though we're a member of the UN, we have a covenant with them, we're more or less obliged to take in the refugees and supply them with all this stuff that we are giving them. I mean, they're making, what is it, $32,000 a year or something like that? But
yeah,
that's all UN. It's not even our government. It's the UN that's doing it. Anyway,
yeah.
I was just going to make a comment on that. That was all.
Well, thank you for your call, Dennis, and all we have to do is look to Germany, to their immigration crisis and what's happening with Angela Merkel, and look around here in the U.S. and we see how the veterans are treated and how many homeless we have in the cities, but yet these people are being given, you know, free housing and you know, EBT cards and whatnot, and we don't even take care of our own, yet we're taking care of these other people. And it's just going to create more of a nasty situation.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was just reading. I think it was redone in '99, I think it was. But I was just reading it, and yeah, down around the paragraph 38 and 34, around in there. Yeah, it's I was like blown away by it.
Well, thanks for your call, Dennis. We have to move on.
All right.
You have a great night. Thanks for holding.
All right. You too. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you too. Bye. All right. We got up next Josh in Arizona. Josh, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
To make it quick. Oh, yeah. Just to make it real quick, first, I want to say two things. Guys, thank you just for your attitude towards Christianity. You know, we Christians have a lot of very important stuff to do, you know, like, you know, witnessing to people. You know, I know a lot of your guests are post-tribbers, but frankly, that's not something worth fighting over, you know? It's either pre, post, mid, or not at all. It's one of the four positions. And okay, can we move on? We had stuff to do, not, you know, fight over the timing of the rapture. So I appreciate your attitude of just like, hey, you know what, we can disagree on this. It's not that big of a deal. If I was a non-Christian, seeing Christians fight amongst each other, you know, I'd be giving hell a second look. You know, just because the way we fight over the silliest stuff, yeah, it's not that important. It'll be one or the other. Anyway, the second thing is, Doug, you were getting a little wound up earlier. I mean, you do kind of frequently, but I would like to encourage you in that. Someone pointed out to me a while ago, and it just came back to me. You know, we are commanded all throughout the Bible, fear God. Well, what does that mean? You know, and you try and explain that to, you know, non-believers. Oh, no, it's not like we are fearing of being punished. But we don't really often know what it means. Well, it turns out the Bible in Proverbs defines it for us. Proverbs 8:13, I had to go look this up. It's the voice, the personified voice of wisdom herself speaking. And wisdom says, to fear God is to hate evil. And, you know, other stuff, you know, evil deeds and perverse speech. So, really, when you get wound up about, like, oh my gosh, can you believe what they're doing? That's just evil. That is, in fact, biblically, fearing the Lord. So, you know, don't, you know, Jesus, well, Jesus walked into the temple.
Thanks for validating my anger. It's not, to me, and I'm not surprised by stuff happening out there. Somebody says, well, hi, you know, why are you surprised? Somebody sent me an email, well, why are you surprised about this? And I'm not surprised. I'm angry.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Jesus walked in and he was flipping tables. He wasn't like, hey guys, stop it. You know, he was angry. He drove them out with a whip. You know? We should be hating evil.
Absolutely. We do need to stand against and resist evil at every turn. Josh, I want to thank you for your call. Sorry we got to cut you short. We got one more call to get to and we got
about
2 minutes.
No, you guys take care. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call. Have a good night. John, Tom in New York. Tom, you got about 2 minutes. Thanks for holding.
Hey, guys. I'll talk quick. First of all, thanks for just for your time and your privilege to have this show. All I have really where I live is the Internet. So, you know, having shows like you guys on YouTube and some other people I watch is just a true blessing. I wouldn't have as much fellowship or information and wisdom without you guys. And the new... the new YouTube stuff looks great. Everything's streaming great here in New York. And I got to agree with, I think, what Ted Brewer and some others have said, that you guys really do have one of the most intelligent audiences. I've been listening to a lot of the callers tonight, making some great points. And so I thank you also for letting us call in so we get to kind of have a little fellowship with one another and hear some different ideas and bounce some things off each other. Two quick things. One is the guy that was talking about the immigrants in Montana coming there and that we're giving them all the benefits. I'll just say I'm about the same age as Joanna that called, around age 40. And recently I fell on hard times. I went to get some food stamps, and they told me that anyone between 18 and 45 that doesn't have children can't have any food stamps unless they can go out and prove that they're trying to find work 30, 40 hours a week. And I live in the middle of the country with no car, so it's pretty hard to go out and hunt for jobs. There's nothing really within walking distance. So I was turned down for that and for some help with housing when it was minus 20 last March. But so I guess my only choice, my only hope might be to move over to Syria, convert to Islam, and then maybe write Barack Obama and see if he'll let me come back over here and get some benefits.
There you go, Tom. That's one way of trying something different.
So but I just want to give you guys a quick scripture for the night, for everybody out there, for anybody who may feel like they don't have, you know, something to do, or they have some extra time on their hands and maybe feel like there's nothing that they can do to serve the Lord. The scripture is Hebrews 13:3. It says, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." And there's a lot of people in prison, Christians that have been put in there falsely or been given extremely large amounts of time that maybe could use some letters or some prayers. And, you know, it could happen to any of us at any time, especially anybody who's outspoken about politics and Christianity. So I'm sure that there's some sites out there.
Amen, Tom. You've taken us to the very end of the program. God bless you, and thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Tomorrow, Jack Cashel in studio. God bless each and every one of you. Till tomorrow, have a good night.